Wow.
Yeah, we made it.
We made it.
John, is there something you'd like that you'd like to tell us that you like?
I don't even know what I like. I guess I'm
like
deprived.
No, you know what
I
you like.
I like coffee. I like t-shirts. I like Marilyn Monroe. Oh, I don't
one
like
more.
Marilyn Monroe. I'm obsessed.
With Marilyn Monroe. There's
like
one
baseball.
Thing you like. There's one like thing you like.
Baseball.
After
baseball.
Last week, I know there's
I like
one thing.
Beer. I like beer.
I like beer.
Beer. I like
beer.
Beers. I like
beers
better than beer.
I like beers better than bears.
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 The
bears.
The
bears.
Bears.
The
bears.
The wolves.
The bears.
The bears.
What a great opening. That's about the best we've ever done. And it was so topical.
Stop applauding your back or whatever you do. Stop slapping
patting
yourself
my own
in the back.
Yeah.
Patting your own back or yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that take yeah, yoga. That's what that takes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's the weather like there in that pit you live in?
Hey, listen, that's a good question. You know why? Because I can answer it.
Really?
And because it is 47 degrees, and it's going to get up maybe into the high 50s. It's sunny. It's crisp out there.
Really?
Out there.
I'm a little envious. I'm quite envious because we had weather like that just 3 days ago, and now it's gone. And we're back to heavy humidity, heavy humidity, no sun whatsoever.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Get out your little violin.
Oh, such a burden you have.
I know. It takes everything I got just to get up in the morning.
Mm.
It did this morning. We both slept in. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, we don't usually do that.
Nope.
Okay, well, which shirt are you wearing, buddy?
I'm wearing the Technicolor tee, the second one, the bro second shirt.
Wow, that's a good
one. With the fist bumps with the color in them.
Mm. Yeah.
And it is, it's probably, I've done this before. I've got all my shirts out before, laid them on my bed. And you know what I do? I just put them all in order and then I touch them and feel each one to find out which one is the softest.
Uh-oh.
And guess what? This is it. I'm wearing it. Ooh,
good.
Ooh, soft. Good. Ooh,
better,
good.
Better than beer?
Ooh, beer. Beer good. T-shirt good. T-shirt
okay,
better.
now you're doing Frankenstein speak. Remember that? Fire bad. Fire bad. Food good. Friend good.
Friend good. Friend warm. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
fire hot. Ooh.
yeah, exactly. Wow. Oh, man, we're losing it. Well, okay, since you asked, I'm wearing my blue April 22nd. Ale Street. Clark Street Ale House.
We're ailing.
We are ailing. Definitely ailing, man. I'll tell you. Right, hold on. I need to do this. Hold on. Just give me a second. Hold on. I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. And doggone it, I can speak.
Good.
All right. I'm okay now. I got the blue one. That's what I'm trying to say. And anyone who wants a shirt, .bro.show. Moreover, if you would like a custom made t-shirt that includes one of our old editions that you've seen but don't have, or you just want a custom made Bro Show t-shirt, you can contact me. And that is like part of my email address. me@jerrydaniels.com.
Mm.
Yeah. Jerry. Daniels.com. Me.
Bro Show t-shirt good. Custom Bro Show t-shirt better.
Better. Better. Because you know what? We'll make sure that the size of the artwork and the size of the shirt go together. Also, you can get custom messages, custom colors. Well, I've done this for a handful of people. They love it. They love it. Really love it. So there's that. We got a hell of a sponsor.
Yeah, which will I think at this point because it's we're just going to remain nameless because it kind of flows into
our topic, really.
And the reason we're not going to mention right now is because we don't want to confuse ourselves.
That's the problem. We're always dealing with that. Always.
Yes.
And you know what? I do feel like as a public service, we need to give a consumer alert since we talk so much about coffee.
Yeah, you know, we're
well,
we're
John,
such...
how do you feel about coffee, by the way?
Good coffee, good.
Okay. Yeah, the consumer alert here regards, and I'm going to name it, John. I'm going to step out and I'm going to put my chin out on this one because I'm just setting myself up for a lawsuit.
Well, you're legal counsel.
Okay. This is against advice of counsel. I'm going to say, do not buy Amora coffee. A-M-O-R-A. It uses the Italian word for love, which is sad.
Yeah, that's
very
that's
sad.
Bad.
Very bad. Amora coffee. You'll see this. They have a deal where if you subscribe to what they have, their coffee service, for a dollar, they will give you this super premium coffee, quote unquote. And several things wrong with this picture. Okay? First thing wrong is it's almost impossible to cancel this fucker once you make the order. So people, what they want to do, they want to taste this goddamn coffee because it's not available in stores. And so they want to get some Amora coffee, which normally costs over $20 for 12 ounces, which makes it very expensive, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
I totally agree. I mean, I've been buying, I've got all this bean coffee from our sponsors, but I think this is the balanced that we need in our show.
Yeah, we got to show that we're not a coffee horse. We're not coffee horse.
No, we're not ass-kissing coffee.
No, we're not ass-kissing coffee makers. Because don't order this, because it's difficult. You just go ahead and go on Yelp for this, and you will see at the first four or five entries in there go, do not order this coffee for $1. And so, well, it turns out that John and I discovered the heinous nature of this offer after my beautiful and lovely wife, Mary Jane, ordered their coffee. And by the way, she's my wife.
She's my wife, but
you know what? You know what, John? People give me shit about this. And you know what? She is my wife. But you know what else? I'm her husband. I do own her, but she owns me. See how that works? So it's okay. And she definitely owns me. Wouldn't you say?
Okay.
She ordered it. She ordered it.
Don't say that.
Why not?
Because you're putting her under the bus.
John, she will never
listen to
this.
She's not that gullible.
She is.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Here's the thing, though. She ordered it with PayPal. And you have more control over things with PayPal. And she's right.
In other words, you're telling me my wife can make all the mistakes she wants because she's done it so much, she knows how to keep from it getting in trouble.
She's an expert. She's an expert at getting us out of messes because my mistakes. She corrects my mistakes. That's why she doesn't make any.
Okay.
You see how that works? Okay. Don't order it. Don't order it because guess what? We got this coffee, John. And I have to say, truthfully, it has absolutely no taste.
Ooh.
Not good. Ooh. Not bad. Now, one thing I'll say in favor of it, when you brew it, it is dark brown. That's it. That's all I got on this.
Sounds like muddy Mississippi.
Well, there's a lot of things that are dark brown. There's a lot of things that are dark brown that we can't even talk about on the show. Well, we do anyway, though.
We
don't
do so much. We don't need
so
to talk
much.
Anymore.
Yeah, anymore. We're done. No shit show.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay. If you're happy, please. I'm happy. All right. Follow up.
Okay.
Take it, John.
Okay, I'll tell you what. It finally happened. I know
what?
You've all been waiting for me to do this. And finally, this last week, I had the pleasure and the honor and the privilege to visit the National Mascot Hall of Fame with the invitation of its executive director, Al Spager.
Yeah.
Say that again. Al
Spager.
Hope I said it right, Al. And I'll tell you, it's in Whiting, Indiana. This museum is still in process.
Beautiful building.
And I went down to Whiting. It's on the main drag. It's like on 119th Street. It isn't open yet. It's scheduled to be open in mid-December. But Al said, you've got to come down and see it. And you know what? Al was spot on.
He was, wasn't he?
Here's what happens. You go down the main drag, heading towards the lake. You get through the main drag of Whiting and Antioch, 119th Street. And at the end of it, you run into this this architectural gem of a building.
It's good looking.
It is like Whiting has done an incredible job of rebounding from its. It's right there. You can see the smokestacks of the U.S. Steel Company.
Wow.
And in the background. And then you see this beautiful, beautiful building. And so, Al, I want to thank you profusely for letting me come in. And he gave me a very extensive tour. What's really nice about this National Mascot Hall of Fame is that they're getting a couple things I want to note. Number one, they have really good board of directors and people, their resources, their outsourcing. All the vendors they've used are first class. They're getting the creative nature of it is being handled by the former Philly fanatic. His name's Dave Raymond.
So
they're going right to the.
He's well known. He's now well known.
I would say now that the chicken, San Diego Chicken, is retired.
By the way,
the Philly fanatic still exists. The costume, whatever. But Dave has moved on, and now he's more of a mascot a consultant. And he's
That was what you wanted to do.
That's in my near future.
Oh.
So the fact is that it's about a 4-story building that in what I was kind of wondering, what's the hook? Now we realize that there are a couple things. Number one, mascots usually cater to children.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is they want to give something that's going to be a hands-on type of museum, and it's going to have its theme health. The health of children. So it's got a lot of spins with respect to physical activity and things they can do with the mascot kind of theme all around it. It's
because mascots are usually very active.
They are. And so they've also got a build your own mascot, like a Build-A-Bear. And they've also got one that's where you basically put different outfits on the mascot. Then let's say that you want to build a mascot from scratch with the body parts. They got that part. And notice what I said. It's the National Mascot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it is.
So as a result, they're going to have 4 mascots that are going to be originally the original inductees that include the Philly Fanatic. I don't want to say too many more than that. I know it's Benny the Bull. Okay. That's a Chicago Bull. I also think they've got the Blackhawk one.
I have a question. Are they inducting the person who is inside the suit by name, or are they inducting the suit?
For legal purposes, they are inducting the mascot, not the person inside it. So in other words,
excellent. Yeah, That's perfect. I applaud Al.
Yeah,
good call.
Al's got an incredible background. He worked in the human resources part of U.S. Steel, so he's a. He knows a lot of people.
Wow.
And I mean, in Whiting, in Indiana, the museum is just so obvious, the building itself, that when Al walks down the street, he's been to all the schools. He is known as Grandpa Mascot. Now, Al is not. He's a very active guy. So he's
very
impressive. He plays hockey.
What?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Friday mornings.
He's our age, isn't he?
Yeah, he's hanging with us.
Wow.
So an incredible, very personable, very knowledgeable. This is a man who is very energetic. He's dedicated. He's doing an incredible job.
Is he actually a grandfather, I wonder? You don't know?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good.
As far as these kids are concerned.
As far as they're concerned, he's Grandpa Mascot.
He's Grandpa Mascot. That's the key to the exercise.
I like it.
So I must have spent a good 2 hours down there. And they've also got in the top floor overlooking, and you can see the Lake Michigan, they've got a 150-seat banquet area, or which can be used for receptions. And the fact is, let's say, for example, you've sealed a deal with your wonderful spouse-to-be, and you're getting ready to plan your wedding reception.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that people can get married down there?
They could get married. I know that segues into our main topic, but they can, at the very least, they can, after they get married, they can come here and have their wedding reception. It seats 150. If it's nice outside, you can go out on a little balcony area.
They got a balcony, too.
Big balcony that you can push at least another 35, 40.
Wow.
So, and if you think that what you can do then is you can say, wonderful wife to be. I've got the place to have my wedding reception. I want to be with the mascots. And you, of course, not in that order.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And we can have our wedding reception at the National
okay.
Mascot Hall of Fame.
So get married there, have the reception there. And, like, I have to ask this, and I'm not trying to be maudlin, but can you get buried there?
I don't know. I think you could have your...
The ceremony?
You could have the memorial service, is what I would call it. You know, okay. The celebration of life.
The wake.
Yes. Yeah. But I think you could either, you know, I've been to these just recently. I talked about Alan Cox a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you did.
And I would feel that it's appropriate. Now, you could do the wake there, I'm sure. But okay. I think it'd be very appropriate for, let's, you know, that 3 weeks afterwards, well-known personality, we're going to have a celebration of life memorial service.
Okay. All right. So Mary and Barry.
Mary and Barry.
It's I like good. It. I do
Al,
like it.
By the way, this is something which is going to be continued. We're going to be discussing this Mascot Hall of Fame, National Mascot Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
When, further, John? Because what's going to happen is the bros, not
that's,
just me,
that's you
but
and
the
I?
Bros together, probably in November, I would.
Hold on just a second. I got to check my paperwork, make sure I don't have any outstanding warrants in Indiana. Hold on.
Vienna, yeah.
Okay, we're good on that.
Indiana wants me,
yeah.
But I can't go back there. Oh, no, you're not that person.
No, not that person. But okay, so wait a minute. I got a little processing time because it's the first time I've heard of this. So in other words,
Al has invited both of us to go down there to do the show.
You didn't tell him much about me.
Show.
You didn't tell me much about. You didn't tell him much about me, did you?
Well, you know that was before he actually saw a picture of us together.
Oh.
And I didn't ask him again.
Oh. I hope he didn't rescind it. And John, I was thinking, you know. We are an explicit show, and you know, I do it's from time to time kind of use some language. So, I think, I know for a fact when we do a live recording of the show there, I'm going to have to curb my language, I believe.
I got some good news for you.
Tell me,
the Mascot Museum is opening at the very earliest mid December. We are doing our show in November. November's before December.
Well,
don't worry about the kids.
Wait a minute. I have to. Because the name is on there. And I feel like tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I'm, you know, besmirching the very name, which is for kids. Now, this is a real conflict for me, John, because you know how I think. I really believe kids should be trained to swear properly at an early age by their parents. So this kind of goes against some of my core beliefs, but I do respect Al and what he's trying to do there. And I just got the feeling he would be disappointed in me if I had a potty mouth while I was recording it there, because I believe he'll hear us, because I believe he's going to have a little group listening to us do this.
Please.
I
think you're
worried.
Putting way too much pressure on yourself.
Okay. All right. Hold on a second. I'm just going
to. Am I going to have to? What do I have to do to get you off the damn ledge? Lighten up.
I'll be okay because I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. And I don't have to compulsively swear, God damn it. Okay.
I'm glad. And kids will actually like you, believe me.
I think they will. That part's true. I go on. I'm going to agree with that. Okay. Wow. That's pretty exciting.
So it is a topic which will to be continued. I would say that it will be mentioned in probably as follow-up several times between now and November, which I think is October, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that's what
it is. Yeah, that's still the month before. They haven't changed that.
I'm just trying. Yeah, they haven't changed that yet. Okay, good.
That is good. All right, well, so no outstanding warrants.
No.
Don't worry
and
about
I
the
think
swearing
we can do
so
it,
much.
And I want to
just go. Just show up.
Thank Al Spager for the wonderful tour. Thank you, Al.
Thank
great.
You, Al.
You're a great guy.
On behalf of my brother, I thank you. Thank you. Great guy. Great I saw guy. The picture of you guys.
It'll be
pause.
In the show notes. It'll be in the really big shoe notes.
Yeah, and you got an older picture of the building under construction, but even with that, you can see. Very innovative.
Put that in the shoe notes.
I'll put it in the really big shoe notes. these kids don't know about Ed Sullivan, so that's not going to make sense, but that's okay. Yeah.
Good old Eddie. What a guy.
Yeah. Eddie. If there was ever a guy called Edward that was never called Eddie, I don't even think his mother called
Look,
him
Look, if you were a childhood friend of his, you would know, okay?
Oh, wow. There's a little presumption there. Did you guys hear that?
It's a time warp plus.
Oh, plus. Because you aren't that old. Oh, my God. I know you're older than me, but I thought it was 2 years. It's maybe two. There's a.
You
maybe
didn't
I
think
left
it was
20, zero.
Did you?
No, I left off the zero, I guess. Wow. You're in really great shape, given that.
Yeah. And I'm not in that good of shape.
No, not. Well, you know what, though? I think you're in better shape. You're as good a shape as I am, or better. I'd say better.
Oh,
but I'm working on it, though, John. I want you to know I'm working on it.
We're always working on it because we've got to. We don't have any choice.
Yeah, we either work on it or that's it.
On the toilet it goes.
Kerplunk. Yeah, that's what that would be. Oh, it's a sad thing, but. Oh,
please.
Hey, I exercise every weekday.
Oh. That's more, you know that? I mean, that's good. I mean, I kind of get on my bicycle.
Oh, you do a lot. You're very active. I would say you're very active.
Oh,
yeah. See, I'm not. I, as you know, I'm a shut-in. So I don't have that many reasons to leave our apartment. So every day at 11 o'clock, Mary Jane and I dance.
You do a war dance?
No. It's just regular dancing. And not together, because our apartment's too small. There's no place in our apartment where the two of us can dance together without hurting ourselves or the apartment.
Hey.
We're a little wild when we dance, by the way.
Hey, you know, your dancing sounds like the Chicago bullpen Cubs.
It is. It is very similar.
Yeah, it's a small, confined
very
area.
Similar.
And you've just got, you know, in this case, we don't have two people dancing. We've probably got it, you know, with the expanded rosters, we've got probably 15 guys out there.
You know, I like baseball clips, right?
Yeah.
You know that.
And, yeah,
those are among my favorite baseball clips. Is to see the dugout dancing. The dugout dance
is
so cool.
Well, the bullpen dancing. Bullpen.
Oh, I get them mixed up.
Yeah.
The bullpen. Okay.
That's where you'd be relegated. The bullpen.
Here it is. Mayhem in the bullpen.
Yeah. Well, I like that. That's good.
That's yours. Go
for
ahead,
some reason, we start talking about baseball. So let's just go with our next follow-up topic.
Which is sketchy. I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to get that up front, John. But go ahead.
Well, the thing is that every Saturday for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to the History of Baseball in Chicago seminar
class.
It's a 6-week class. And History of Baseball in Chicago, people say to me, well, are you taking the course? Are you teaching it? And I said, no, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
But that's
right.
Good. I mean,
You're going there to humiliate the instructor.
What I'm doing is I'm showing remarkable restraint and doing minimal damage to the instructor.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, John, if this guy turns up, you know, in one of these killings on the highways up there, like you have every other day, then I think you're going to be a suspect.
I think if I will be a suspect only if
you'll drive this guy.
There's a nice little park just south of Newberry Library, which is where it's held. If he's found there, I'm close enough that I could be a suspect. I'm probably the student that lives closest to the library.
Well, here's the way this would go. That you will not have killed him, but you will have driven him to suicide.
Okay.
I hate to say it. I hate to say it about my own brother, but John, be careful, okay?
I am going to be careful.
Are you? Are you going to show restraint when you're in this place?
Believe me, I've already gone through one class, and what I've done is
What happened?
Well, a couple things. One is that I didn't say anything until the end of the class. I said very little. Of course, we were introduced, and I gave a very modest introduction, saying I have an interest in baseball. And
I heard that you said, I'm Baseball John, I'm famous.
Yeah, it's like I've got chapters and books written about me. No, I did none of that.
Wow.
So
restraint. You get a point or two for restraint there.
So the thing is that it's right now just getting involved in the first the origins of baseball, et cetera, which we don't need to talk about.
Because he got it completely wrong.
Yeah, he gave credit to some people, but you know what? I'm not here to trash the instructor.
Really?
I'm not here. I'm here to learn, and I did learn because there was a fellow student who I happen to know because we both taught at DeVry University. He is a marketing and he, drew a blank on his name. I didn't know his last name anyway.
He's a marketing director. So what?
Yeah.
His name's not Jerry. It's not Jerry, is it?
No, it isn't Jerry. Okay. So the thing is that after the class was over, he asked the professor, he says, I heard that the reason that the pitching mound, the pitcher mound, is located 60 feet 6 inches from home plate is because it was a clerical error and somebody read a 0 as a 6. And so that's the reason it happened. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of shook my head and said, look, I'm not.
First of all, I can't. First, I got to interrupt. First of all, this is a touchy topic. Because if you ever say the words 6 inches to a man, there's only one response.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's I unfortunately, I wanted to kind of coin a description of what I was presented with as I considered a challenge was to come up with the origin of how come the mound is 60 feet, 6 inches. So I made
technically
mistake.
the rubber.
Yeah. The rubber's involved. There's rubber involved in this.
There's a strip of rubbery stuff like latex on the ground. And what's the deal? The pitcher has to have his foot, his forward foot as he releases the ball on that strip of rubber, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's called the rubber, believe it or not.
Yes.
And 6 inches is involved.
Now,
okay,
there's
that's
also
all I got to say.
There's
rubber,
also
6 inches.
Before we had the rubber, we had the box.
Yeah. Here's the 6 inches thing, right?
Yeah. This is where I ran into the 6 inch problem because of the box, not because of the rubber. The rubber came later, okay, before the box did.
I understand why, because you told me. This is actually interesting.
So in 1893, just to be real quick, there was 50 feet exactly was where the pitcher's box, where the pitcher had to stay in even after he released the ball. That was the rule. The rule was 50 inches.
And that's because the pitcher is right there in a key spot where he could do a lot of infielding. And it's not fair. Right? That's why they put him in a box.
It's not foul, though. It is fair. It's a fair territory.
Okay. Now you're getting fair and foul. Okay. I shouldn't have said anything. I knew he'd do this to me.
So
I am not in the class.
Let's get back to the box.
I'm not auditing the class.
And let's get back to the box, okay?
Okay, back in the box.
The pitcher's box is 5.5 feet in length.
Sometimes.
But it changed. It moved around a little bit, 4x6, 6x4. It ended up, as we approach 1893, to be 4x5.5 feet.
Oh, wait a minute. A half a foot is how long?
6 inches.
There you go.
Oh, it's starting to kind of get together.
It's crystallizing. It's crystallizing in what's left of my mind.
So what happened was that they decided that they were going to eliminate the box and establish the rubber. So the rubber replaced the box. And what they did is they said, we're going to make the pitcher keep his foot on the rubber as he is throwing the ball. They decided to make that located 5 feet beyond the back end of the box. So you add the 50 feet plus the 5.5 feet plus 5 feet. And guess what you've got?
60 feet, six inches.
And our 6-inch problem is solved.
Wow, I love that explanation. You know, I like numbers. I like math. I love geometry. So this is good, John.
I think out of all this,
good
the
one.
Key to the exercise is somebody says, yeah, that's, you know, 1893, that's the year they went from 50 feet to 6.5 inches. The bottom
60,
line is,
60 feet, feet, 6 inches.
Yeah, excuse me, 60 feet, 6 inches. The bottom line is it's not that far. Because we're talking about measuring two different points of measure. One of them was on the front end of it, and the other is at, so you get the idea.
They figure
it's more like
not that big
a
change.
It's about 5 feet, less than 5 feet.
Not that big a deal.
Okay.
So, may I ask, is that when they put the rubber in play?
Yes, they did.
Oh, okay.
Now, we could talk about a whole other subject. And I know people are saying, well, what about the mound? What about the mound?
Yeah, that's what I asked.
The fact is that the origin of the mound is it's a groundkeeping thing. It's a groundskeeper thing.
Oh.
And there's a variety of reasons that groundkeepers did it. Some of it did it because they felt that if the baseball field got wet, the one area we wanted to keep relatively dry would be the pitching area. So one way we could do that is to elevate it a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I thought it had something to do with like Groundhog Day, you know, that there was a furry animal digging up the infield. That's wrong. That's wrong.
Well, that's a subject of an article that I'm going to be writing for Center for Humans and Nature.
Oh.
It's called How Animals Change the Course of Baseball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm available, by the way. I'm available for comment, by the way, when you get to it.
You'll be helping me edit that article.
Okay. Will do.
So I've got another class this afternoon. Looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to giving that explanation out to whoever wishes to hear it about
prediction.
60 feet, 6 inches.
Do you think anyone else in that class is going to do the work and figure that out?
No.
You think you're going to be the guy? You're going to be the guy.
And you know what? I am not going to quote all 6 of the references to this that I have at my fingertips that can just roll off my tongue.
Really?
I will not do that. I will not do that.
Wow, you're going to show admirable restraint.
Restraint, yes.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't want to show up anybody or the students or the professor.
Do you think in the class you could, like, secretly put me on FaceTime so I could hear this? Is that possible?
I don't know that much technology.
All right, okay.
In addition to that fact, I would concern myself with...
You'd be nervous. You'd be nervous.
Say, by the way, I'm sneaking this other person electronically into class. I don't want to get hit out of class.
And not paying. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I had to mention it. I had to mention it. John, I have to mention something else too.
I got problems. Go ahead.
Are you ready to talk about the next problem?
Yeah, it's a problem.
Okay. John, we had a couple times this last week, I thought I may have lost you. I have to tell the truth.
Oh, I went down a deep, dark road.
Did go down a deep, dark road. And it had me very concerned. I did not call Anya to go over and check on you, which is kind of my MO, which you hate. But, you know, I do love you. I can't help it. And hey, so, what?
You just was a little overreaching love. That's acceptable.
Is that it?
That's all it is.
All right. Well, the context of the times, I didn't think it was that crazy. But anyways, enough of that. I don't have 20 questions, but I do think. Okay, I do think you have a Marilyn Monroe tawdry book addiction.
Oh, I do. I got a bunch of books and couldn't resist it. I got another Marilyn Monroe book.
What does that put you up to?
That's my 11th book on Marilyn Monroe.
Now this is also a problem because of your fear. Your superstitious fear of certain numbers.
Well, it's as I approach a number.
Which also kind of starts to look like an excuse to buy 4 more of these. I almost said the F word. 4 more of these books.
Save that for the Hall of Fame, the Mascot National Hall.
And that's going to happen. I'll end up using the F word right there with Al.
An F-bomb. It'll be bad.
So, yeah. Oh. Okay, go ahead. I'm getting sad now. So here's the thing.
I've got 11 books. So I immediately think, I can get a 12th book, but that's getting too close to 13. And I have a trypanophobia guy. I have a fear of 13. As a result, what I've got to do is I cannot sit on 13 books. If I get to the point that I'm close, which would be 12, I'm going to have to jump all the way to 15 books. Now you're 14, saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't sit on 12. I can't sit on 14. I've got to jump to 15.
I can explain why. Okay. Yeah. Here's inner workings in my brother's mind. Because let's say he's at 12. He's going to be freaking out if he's at 12 because he doesn't want to get that close to 13. Because things can happen that are out of his control. If something may happen where he ends up with another book and he's stuck on 13, and that cannot happen.
It's too close.
No, too close. And hey, you know let me go on. Let me
go ahead.
On.
Go ahead.
I got more for you.
I want more. I need
it. Why can't he just order two books when he gets to 12 and he'll be at 14? Here's why. Because something can go wrong. He'll say he orders these.
I get back ordered. I get pushed.
You get one of them gets back ordered. One of them doesn't. He ends up on 13. He needs some insulation. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. That's now, how well I know my brother, by the way.
The other thing is that what you're saying, well, look, clown, just stay at 11. That's a problem, too.
It is. As I already pointed that out.
Because there's another. I'm in Chicago, and I go,
John.
I can't sit on. I can't sit.
I found two Marilyn Monroe books for you. See what I'm saying? Yeah. I could come up Chicago with two books accidentally. I would never do that on purpose to you, but I could do that accidentally, and you're on 13 now.
Yeah, and the fact is, you're saying, well, how many of these Marilyn Monroe books are out there? The fact is, there's well over 100 books.
Yeah.
A lot of them pretty lousy. I've tried to be selective. I have quality, not quantity when it comes to MM.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I've got some good stuff.
I do not think you know what that word means, quality. That's what I would have to say.
And the main thing I've got, and one of those 11 books is an unabridged Marilyn Monroe encyclopedia.
Oh, really?
I'm sure a lot of people have that. I mean, that's just got to be a part of your basic library.
Really?
I think so, isn't it?
Okay, wake up call. Most people don't have a library. That's where I'm starting with this one. Okay? Okay?
Okay, Mr. Ebook.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm going to take that off the table.
Oh, God.
Most people don't have a library. You have a Dewey Decimal System library, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I've kind of updated
Poindexter.
Myself.
Poindexter.
Yeah. Well, I use the Congress, Library of Congress.
Do you now?
Index system. Yes. I don't use Dewey Decimal anymore. I'm a man of the.
Of the times.
Of the
you
times.
Moved on.
Yeah, I've
yeah,
moved on.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. Listen. I have a few books.
You're in trouble here.
I've got close to 3,000 books. I've got 2,300 baseball books. You just want me to say that. You want me to – you just want – you're flaunting your books again, aren't you?
I didn't say that. I did not say that. Okay? Let the record show I did not say that. And I did not edit it out. I did
the
not
problem
edit it
I
out.
Run into, and I am willing to look in the mirror and say I have a Marilyn Monroe – book addiction problem.
Talk
now, I'm not
addiction.
Obsessed with MM. I'm obsessed with the books.
Obviously.
Now, the obsession with Marilyn, I got over at the age of 11.
Yeah, she's a human being. You switched from human beings to animals and inanimate objects right about when you were 12. Not many people know that.
Hey, listen, it saved my ass when it come to I.
Yeah?
I got through my childhood.
Oh, well, yeah. You did
get
do that.
Out your little violin. I know.
You got your childhood. Did y'all hear that?
So cute. So the problem is that when I get one of these new books, I can't even look at the rest of the books I ordered yet. The box of books is still unopened because I start reading the MM books, this latest one, and I start, oh dear. And then, of course, I've got to go to my Marilyn Monroe encyclopedia. Ooh, and then I get myself in big trouble. But I'm hoping that sometime this next week, I am going to be able to index that book and place it on the bookshelf with the rest of my Marilyn Monroe books.
Let the record show.
Walk away from the book.
You've been trying for 2 weeks to do that, and you've been totally unsuccessful, by the way.
That's the reason we have it as a topic. Because I'm hoping that my mere mentioning this, the public announcement of what I'm going to do is going to shame me into doing it.
Well, shame is one of your big deals, so it should work. Right? We've done this before with other things.
And I expect you, Mr.
Yes,
producer slash bro.
Yes.
I expect you next week to ask the question. Have you indexed and let go of that book?
Will do. Not a problem.
Okay, let's move on to serious stuff.
I'm here to serve and project. Okay. Yeah. All right. So it looks like we got a topic. God,
do we have a topic?
We have a pretty good topic, actually. Marriage. That's Peter Cook in Four Weddings and a Funeral. Sure. I like the way he does that. Marriage. And he goes on and can't stop talking. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
It's like these topics. We don't just all of a sudden, go to some place in a dictionary and say, oh, there's a good page. There's a good word. Let's put that as our main topic.
Wow. Maybe we should do that, though.
If we get desperate, we might have to do that one of these.
We're not going to get that desperate because we make sure
that our topics are current, timely, and also something you're not going to find someplace else. I mean, these are fresh.
In other words, ridiculous.
Yes, it is. So it all starts with me reading an article in the paper. Of course, my paper is the Chicago Sun-Times. And it had to do with Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama right now, she's written a book. And she will start in November her book tour. And one of the side topics I wanted to mention is most of the time you go to these book tours and you'll say, well, book tour, have to get in line. Maybe you have to buy the book.
That's it. That's the high watermark. Yeah.
You will then stand in line forever and she'll sign it.
How does it work with her?
It's like her book tour sold out. And it sold out at prices ranging from $30 to $3,000 a ticket.
Wait. $30. You have to buy tickets for this thing?
Yeah.
Explain it. I'm lost.
I don't get it myself. I mean, apparently.
Wait a minute. This is just a book tour.
This is a book tour.
She sells the book and makes her money. Why does she charge us to buy a book?
No, believe me, you can go on the internet and you can find articles where she is being criticized for doing this. And she hasn't even started the tour yet.
This is so Clinton-esque. This is what Clinton would do.
Yeah, usually what you would do is you would say, look, I'm going to do the book tour, and then what I will do is I'll have speaking engagements after that because now my name's out in the news.
Yeah.
And I'll charge $10,000 per speaking engagement.
I can go with that.
That's a normal ripoff. This is not the normal ripoff. This is taking the ripoff a step beyond that. It's like, let's be more aggressive. Let's get quicker to the ripoff. Let's not wait for the book to come out. Let's start selling tickets, getting the money before the book is released, before the tour even takes place.
Wow.
And you know what? It's gotten to the point it's all sold out. So you know what you have to do now? What? You have to go on a secondary. You have to go on a secondary ticket market, such as StubHub, to get the ticket.
Whoa.
To either get to the very, very back where you, by the way, if you get the $30 ticket, there's one thing you better bring beside the book to get an autograph. And that's a pair of binoculars to see.
What?
Yeah.
Stadiums? Are these stadium book signs?
I'm just letting you know that it is going to be hard for you to see. You might even want to bring something to stand on to overlook the crowd. You will be way in the back.
How about one of those periscopes? I like those.
That's good.
We can sell those.
That's what you're going to need. Okay. Now, of course, you can fork out the $3,000 and be a part of the 200 or 300 people that get this year before the book tour, and you can get what's called the meet and greet. You'll be able to do is, and their idea of meet and greet is that you will be maybe, they've got different tiers of meet
photo
and greet.
You
can get the photo op, meet or greet. You can actually, what it starts is, you can be like three rows deep in the meet and greet.
Whoa.
And you can actually, she will look at you and smile at you. Or you can get to the first row meet and greet, and she will actually shake your hand.
Okay, first of all, she should have talked to us before she did this. I don't know why people don't do this, because would you have let her do this, John?
No way.
I wouldn't have either. This is so tone deaf. You know, this is just, the optics on this are terrible. This is just so wrong. I can't believe that she went along with this. Doesn't she have a brain?
I don't know what to say about this. It's just, there's just so many things that are
too
so
many,
bad.
Too many leafy vegetables. I'm just going to say it. You know?
Yep.
Too much organic food or something, because this is not right. But there's all this stuff we just talked about may sound interesting, but it's not really compared to what we unearthed. Tell them about it, John.
Well, what happened as I was going through this, I realized that another thing that we're connecting this with is that Michelle Obama officiated a marriage. Now, we're going to have to get into what that means.
Yeah, we are.
But all I can tell you is that there was this close friend couple of hers that she knows that decided that they wanted Michelle to be part of her wedding ceremony. And they just didn't say, we want Michelle to be at the reception. We don't want her to be there. They took the big step and said, Michelle, we want you to be the one who asks us those poignant questions at the end of the ceremony where we have to say yes to.
I do. Yeah.
And sure enough, Michelle was able to do that. Now, that piqued my interest.
Well, you sent me the link. There's a videotape of this out there.
Yeah. You can actually watch her do this.
So it's for real.
Yeah. I mean, that's all part of the book promo. I mean, do you think she said, well, I don't really want to do this. Oh, wait a minute. I got a book tour coming up. I've got a book coming out. I need my face out there. This'll work for me.
Okay. So that got us thinking.
Reminded me of the fact that I've actually been to a ceremony where it was like a it wasn't Build a Bear, it was like Build a Minister.
Wait a minute. Wait. In other words, there's a handmade minister that officiated over this wedding
by the way, you have your patron or some, your best friend. And it got us to think. And we figured we're going to basically talk about marriage and the way that people need to think in terms of, there's so many decisions that need to be made. And some of these are very difficult. But once you kind of come to the realization that you've met the person
that
you want to marry, you then all of a sudden are confronted with a variety of challenges.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to make your life as a couple before you get married, those decisions, we're going to try to lighten your load.
Yeah, we are going to, because why? We don't whine about problems. We actually propose solutions.
And the solutions for a change are going to be very practical.
What? Wait a minute. Are you trying to imply something there?
I'm just letting you know that quite often our solutions are a little out of the box. They are hard for people.
Innovative.
They're innovative, yes. There are things that you don't normally. Yeah, innovative. I like. That's good.
All right, let's go with that.
Okay. Yeah. So we know that one of the tough decisions, quite often you run into a situation, you say, well, let's just go down to City Hall and get married. And that might be a deal breaker. Don't go that direction.
I don't necessarily think so. No, it does.
It could be a deal breaker. Not for all people.
Let's frame this. It lacks warmth, but above and beyond that, you've got to think about this. This is your first step as a married couple. Your first step. It sets a tone. And so here's your chance as the spouse or as either spouse to show who you are as a couple.
I'll tell you right now, when you reach that point where you've actually proposed, now, you know, you've gotten over a great hurdle. I mean, there are certain things you do not do when it comes to proposals. I just have to mention this to throw a little baseball thing in. Do not be the guy who decides he's going to have on the big stadium screen, will you marry me? Don't do that. That's a deal breaker.
Why?
Why? Because women don't like that.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Well, you know it now. You've heard it first from me. Okay?
Okay.
So we're assuming that you've gotten over some of the hurdles and what you don't need at this
pretty
point.
Pretty big one there, because that's why I would have done
once
it.
You, yeah. But quite often what happens is you feel a sense of relief. Okay, this sounds like a marriage in the making. I think we can handle it. And then you run across these landmines in the road to marriage.
The biggest one, who's going to marry us?
Yes.
Let's say you're interdenominational.
That's part of that can be a problem. It's like all of a sudden
I'm Catholic,
you say, well, I want,
I'm Jewish. What are we going to do?
I'm Jewish. I need a marriage. And then you've got to go with this. Well, we can have the duet up there.
You know what the worst thing, John? The worst thing is you lose control. That's what happens. This is all these decisions. That the downside is you will lose control of your marriage.
And you lose momentum. Wedding. You lose control. Oh, you lose terrible. Momentum. It's bad.
Well, you open a door to catastrophe.
You do.
Anything can go wrong, and it does. It certainly does.
And what's so frustrating about this is you think you're so close to marriage, and yet you could be so far if you don't go down this road the right way. And we have got the solution.
We got the right way. We actually got the solution.
You can. You will feel your mind will relax once you hear this. It is so good.
I think so.
Because quite often, the problem that we run into is that what we do is we think more in terms of who's that person up there? That minister, whatever that we can get. And we think minister when we ought to think about the person.
Who we really should.
Let's
really
just kind of take all the other stuff away, whether it be religion, this and that. And quite often, we can say, boy, if we could, we would like to have our best friend marry us. Or we would like to have this person marry us or that person.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's not a dream.
No. It sounds like it, though. It kind of sounds like it, doesn't it?
It sounds like a dream. It sounds like this fantasy thing that we wish for that is unattainable when little do we know. Well within reach.
Yeah, and you know, the upside of this is this allows you to keep control. You can keep either parents from taking over, which they will do, by the way. You can get control of the process. You can blame a lot of stuff on this guy. He is your best friend. So
it's so good because quite often, you're right, the obstacle is the parents. And then what you can say, look, we've got the solution, and they cannot... When you say we're going to have our best friend marry us, or whoever it might be, when you explain to them what you've done, they will just have to say, they'll have to nod and say, good.
Well, they won't say that. Here's what happens in reality. What happens in reality is that, see, when you have parents, the best thing to do is piss them off. So it's such a high magnitude of pissed offness that, you know, everything else you do is going to seem like nothing at all.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah, you just drop the bomb. See, let's say your mom or your dad are religious, and you don't want it in a church. You want it at the Clark Street Ale House in the beer garden.
Right.
Where it should be done.
Yes.
So you want your – and just drop the bomb. They are going to be so pissed off that the other shit you want to do, they're not going to notice.
Yeah. I totally agree. That's a ploy that.
How do we get there?
Well, I think it's. Well, I got there because I've used that ploy many times after being married.
That's true. I've seen
it. Sort of like let's go to McDonald's when you really want to go to
Ale House. That's code for Ale House. Yeah.
Yeah.
But John, here's what I was saying. How do we get there? So let's say you're the best friend and you're not a minister and they want you to marry him. Where do you go? What do you do? You go to what, John? The
Universal Life Church.
That's all you have to do. In fact, if you type Universal and L-I, you'll see the link immediately. It's well known.
Go to the really big show notes.
Yeah,
go
in show notes.
Go to the link in the notes.
Tap on that link and you'll be taken to the Universal Life Church website, which will blow your mind, because anything you need is right there.
It is
your
so
credentials.
Good.
Your credentials as a Universal Life minister, all there. It gets better though.
It gets so
these
good.
These people need to sign something to say they're married. Guess what? Universal Life Church has those forms for you.
Yes, but I think let's talk a little bit about the fact that we've used the word ordained minister, and somebody if you said that. Best friend, we like you to marry us and minister. Your best friend's going to say, I don't have the time
to go to divinity school.
Divinity school.
Yeah.
I don't need that extra degree on the back of my name. So I'm afraid
I'm not
your candidate. And we're just, Jeez.
Did I say that out loud?
Oh. Sorry. The fact is that the Universal Life Church, what they do, is they take this very seriously, because they give you on the internet site where you become an ordained minister, they give you the instructions, the reading, the learning, that section of it.
It's all done. Yeah.
It's all there. And yeah. You know what?
What do I say? What do I do? Is there something special? I'm doing this in Arkansas. What, will I get lynched?
Let's say that
all the states, they have something for every state. John.
Every state. But here's the deal. The deal is that with respect to the study that you do in terms of becoming a minister, that's optional. So in other words, you are then, you're confronted with making a decision that only you can feel comfortable with as to whether you need the additional prep to take on these responsibilities, or do you just need to go to the...
Well, maybe you already know it. Maybe you already know that stuff.
You might know it. Maybe you can read the Cliff's Notes version of it, which is just some bullet points that describe, you know, in addition to the fact there are some state laws that are very important. Mm-hmm.
Gotta know
respect
those.
To it.
Registrations. Mostly,
registrations and all this stuff. And you know what's really nice about this is that let's just say that, well, you can actually become the minister, and it the cost of becoming the minister, guess how much that is?
Let's hear it.
It's zero. It is zilp. It's zilch.
Oh, that is so smart.
It is very smart because, and you're saying, well, wait a minute.
But everything else
Universal Life Church has to support itself in some way. How does it make any money? It makes money based upon the pieces of this at a very low cost that you need, that you might later need, such as you're a minister and somebody says, well, we'd like to marry you now that you're a minister. Well, okay, you can then get the certificate of being ordained, which is very important to some people that you display that, you know, at the wedding. Number two, you can actually get the official wedding certificates.
Yes.
So the pieces.
So cool.
And let's say
John,
that.
John, I have to say there's more than that. Oh, you can get the robes.
That's it.
Also, you can get the stole, the thing that goes around your neck.
So in other words, if you have
everything,
let's say that your spouse says, well, wait a minute. We're not going to make mockery of this. We want somebody that's not only an ordained minister, but we want them to look like a minister.
Optics.
You've got the visual presentation there.
Everything.
You've got the person that you can. So you can say best friend. You're become our best minister.
John, I have to say, you know, when we were initially talking about this and I was looking at the website, everything I thought of as a joke, mostly. You know, everything I thought of, like, oh, it'd be cool to have one of those things you can put around your neck like they do during Lent and all that, you know. And turns out, whatever you're thinking of, they have it. They have it. You want a ring? You want a ring? They got it.
Hey,
you want a badge? Yeah, they got it. You want a patch that goes on your clothes? Hey, John, do you want the collar and the shirt? They got it.
Let's go all the way to the top. Let's just say, for example, that you're getting married to somebody who is obsessed with, like, baseball. A passion.
Yeah.
It's a passion for baseball, not obsession.
Oh, yeah. We don't use that word, do we? No.
And so...
aficionado.
What happens is that you end up saying to your wonderful spouse, I like baseball a little bit. Would you
kind of like someone would say,
would
I like
you
beer.
Mind if
I like beer.
The minister wears the robe and also has a baseball cap? It's doable.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about getting carried away and put the cap with name of your team on it. I'm talking about the official ordained minister baseball cap.
What?
Yes.
Now, see, I missed this. You mean there's a ULC baseball cap?
Yes, there is.
I think that's used primarily for promotions when you're out about in the community.
Nope.
It's used at the ceremony as well?
It can be used at the ceremony.
By request,
now,
I
mention this only with a caveat.
Which is?
Proceed with caution.
Because
I don't want this baseball cap to be a deal breaker when it comes to your marriage.
You know, you do have to proceed with
caution. But I'm just
letting you know that
the options are endless is what I'm trying to demonstrate.
You know, I think you got me convinced with that one because I wasn't expecting that.
No.
Wow. Well, John, let's make this personal. You want? Do you think I should become a ULC minister? I'm prone to do this sort of thing.
The first thing is that, as far as I understand, based upon your background, you can already provide.
Yeah,
you could. But right, I mean, you're looking for another layer, I mean, looking for another approach, I'm not saying credibility, because I think you have the cred.
Well, it's true. I have married people.
You have married people. You've got
Batting 500.
Yeah,
half of them have stayed married.
Hey, look, let's face it. In our family, that would be a record batting average.
Wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
500 would look so good.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. I'd say you're right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I'm just thinking, I mean, that's a lot of fun, man, wearing those robes, that stole, you know, all that stuff. You know, the real come on for me is the certificates.
The certificates are good.
People want to sign something.
And I can tell you right now, mm-hmm. you got to keep in mind that you have to take, you know, this isn't that easy, because you have to think about it in terms of a person you feel can do a good job of performing the ceremony. And that's only something you can do. You can come up with. You know the person.
Yep.
We're not just saying that you can get any person out there to do it that you know.
Right.
You know, this isn't like the person you met on a Friday night after a couple of beers and say, by the way, we need somebody in a couple of days to. No. Because, and I can tell you right
now,
I have actually.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, oh, man.
I like beer. Yeah,
I know you do.
No, don't go.
I know. I was thinking of Brett. I was thinking, is that how he got married?
Oh, God.
Is that what happened? That
Unfortunately,
a lot.
Yeah, that
poor,
would be the that would be the perfect. I could basically go down to the house and say,
"Oh man,
Brett, would you marry us?" And I'm, you know, who we're talking about.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah.
But,
oh man, that's so rich.
Yeah. So the thing is that I've actually been a part of
you
a ceremony. Where a Universal Life Church minister has conducted the marriage, officiated
the
marriage.
How was that? How'd that feel?
That felt so, so good. It's so good. And I mean,
wow.
The venue was incredible. It was this really big beer hall that what they did is they did it well. They had the ceremony. They had a brief reception, and then they had a dinner afterwards, all in the same place.
Wow.
24 no-crap-on-tap handles there.
Whoa. No-crap-on-tap. I like that. You do like beer, don't you?
I like beers.
I think he likes
24
beers.
24
of them. Let me have that other handle there.
Yeah.
John, okay, so first of all, a couple observations about this. First of all, I think we get back to this, the C word, control. What's good about this is that here you go. You don't have to be in a church. Therefore, you can go to one venue and do the ceremony, the reception, the dance afterwards, and beers.
Yep.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. Done that. It works.
It worked, didn't it?
It did.
Now,
it was so good.
Couple questions. Did he have robes on?
What he did is he basically had a suit. He dressed very formal.
He suited up. All right, that's good enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like,
again, what you want.
Yeah. If you want robes, he'll get them.
Yeah.
It might be a little charge for it, but I like this. I like this a lot. I think they have like best practices on there and stuff. They have sample ceremonies. And you can modify them, and you sit with the couple. Here's you don't give them a blank sheet. You say, here's some of the basics. What do you like? What do you don't like? What do you want to change? That sounds like a good thing.
It is. And the fact is that the flexibility, I think the most important thing, there's a couple. Obviously, you got to get the right person. But the other thing is that you need to know, and this is one thing, the rules of the state in which you're getting married.
Yes. Well, they have a map. You just tap on your state and it shows you all the stuff.
It's an easy path to take on the internet at this website, which we will have in the show notes.
Yeah, or if you just want to search for it, just go right ahead.
Yeah,
you know, Universal Life Church. Very nice.
Okay.
They're our sponsor.
Yes.
And we've had our consumer alert now, so we're good on that. You know, not to buy Amora super premium coffee. It's a scam.
And it doesn't taste that good anyway.
What taste?
Yeah, what taste is exactly it.
It would have been better if it was bitter. Oh, that sounded good. All right, John, how about a groaner? sign us off with a
grinder. Okay, what I'm going to do is or I got two. I got two. I'm going to give you an obvious. This is what I call a classic groaner.
Oh, a warm-up groaner?
It's a warm-up groaner.
Okay.
How do you get holy water? How do you get holy water? This is an action.
What do you have to do to get holy water? I don't know, John.
You got to boil the hell out of it.
Oh, my God. That is so good.
Yeah, again, that's a classic one. That's
that
a good
is
one.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
Now, we're going to finish up with
where are
this
we going?
One.
Where
well,
are we going?
I don't know.
You know, John, you're hesitating. This gets me very nervous.
This is because this is either going to be very, very good or very bad. So I'm going to give it a shot. Okay. What do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? Do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long?
Oh, I really don't want to know, but I can't resist. I don't know, John. What do they get?
Polaroids.
Oh! Oh, my God.
Oh. I dug too deep in my groaner inventory for that one.
Oh. Oh, another asshole reference. Oh my God. Oh, John.
Okay, well. That's all
okay,
I got.
I'm going to let that go. You do not need to do a penance or anything. You're okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Papal producer.
You're
the paper producer. I'm the papal producer.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I am.
Good enough. Let's go. Hey.